In this section of Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells seven different parables about the kingdom. He seems definitely to be excited for us to grow in our understanding of the kingdom of God. He can't seem to stop talking about it. He definitely believes the kingdom is of central importance to us. In that first parable today, he talks about a great treasure hidden in a field. Last Sunday, when we heard Jesus talk about the parable of the sower and the seed, he said that the field is the world. And now we hear about a treasure found in this field that is the world. What's the treasure? And who hid it there? The treasure is worth selling everything in order to attain. Everything. Notice that he sells everything in order to buy the field, which is the world. If you want the treasure, you have to buy the world. How do we do that? And yet somehow that treasure is worth more than the whole world. The treasure is the kingdom of God. Or in other words, Christ. When we try to wrap our minds around the eternal kingdom of God being hidden in the field of the world, wow. We can also remember how the eternal Son of God, in all of his infinite greatness, became hidden in the womb, in the woman of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The infinite contained in the finite. The eternal contained in the time bound. God is the one who hid his Son in Mary's womb. And God is the one who hid the treasure of his kingdom in the field of our world. Somehow, this man in the gospel finds the treasure. And what does he do? He hides it again. He doesn't want to lose it. He takes precautions to guard his treasure. And then it is necessary for him to sell everything else. He has to get rid of the world in order to gain the world and to find the treasure of the kingdom at the heart of the world. A treasure means nothing as long as it remains hidden. And if I'm seeking the field for the sake of the field and not for the sake of the treasure, then I'll never have enough to buy that field. No one will ever have enough to buy the world. The greedy sometimes try to deceive themselves that they can buy the world or buy enough of it in order to satisfy themselves. But even the devil, who likes to claim the world for himself, has never truly possessed it. And he's been soundly defeated by the hidden treasure that is the Christ. Seek the world for the sake of the world and lose everything. Lose everything for the sake of the hidden treasure that is Christ and gain everything. In the seeking that you do in your world, seeking to raise a family, seeking to make a living, seeking to live a good and upright life, seeking to be a good and faithful husband and wife, seeking to be a good neighbor, etc., etc. All of that seeking, if you don't have at the center of your field the hidden treasure of the kingdom that is Christ, then your seeking is worthless. And you're among the most pitiable of people. Seek first the kingdom. All else will be provided for you. Notice that there's four things that happen, both in that story and in the one to follow about the pearl. There's a seeking. There's a finding. There's a renouncing. and there's a taking possession. Between that seeking and that taking possession, we can't let go of the two middle parts. The two middle poles are essential as well, finding and renouncing. I have to search in order to find. I'm searching for something particular. And when I find it, I have to renounce everything else. In that second parable, there's the merchant searching for fine pearls. Plural, pearls. One can only imagine how many years this merchant traveled and searched and studied and learned. Over time, he learned more and more about the pearls and what distinguishes a fine pearl. And over time, he found more and more perfect pearls. But the more he learned, the more he sought, hoping to find one without any flaws. And one can imagine during that time of his learning and growing and searching that one flawless pearl was at the same time being formed and fashioned in hiding in the perfect oyster. I think of someone like the old man Simeon in Luke's gospel, who spent his life longing to see the Messiah and coming across brilliant and charismatic leaders, but never finding the one. And in the meantime, the flawless and perfect Messiah was being formed and fashioned in the womb of the sinless Blessed Virgin, the perfect oyster. And finally, he holds the one in his arms. "Now, Master, you dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen salvation. Here's the perfect pearl. I've gained the field of the world. I hold it now in my own hands. And so now nothing in the whole field of the world any longer holds meaning for me. The pearl, the treasure, the Christ means everything." The man who found the treasure, the merchant who found the pearl, Simeon who found the Christ, their reactions were joy in their finding, and they searched no longer. All during their searching, they always knew there was something more that they were looking for. Is your search merely worldly? Are you content to enjoy worldly pleasure? Or have you put the hidden treasure, the perfect pearl, the most loving and merciful Christ at the center of your searching? As we get ready to celebrate a baptism, that pearl is about to be planted into Mila Rose's heart, into the center of her field. And that's part of the duty of the parents and godparents and all of us, is to help her to find that at the center of her own field. As we make our way through the field of the world, we seek not the world, but the hidden treasure. As we go through this life, we grow in our discerning of what the perfect pearl looks like. It can be refreshing to be reminded and renewed that our searching here on earth has a particular purpose. We know what we're searching for. Seek the face of Christ. Everything you do, seek the face of Christ. And that's the homework for the week. In everything this week, seek the face of Christ.